Believe in yourself, cause it starts with you, and then everyone else will believe you too. And if it looks like you're the only believer around, just keep on believing, don't put yourself down, just believe.
Our guest this week grew up in Detroit, Michigan, and earned a BA in finance from Michigan State University and an MA in Christian apologetics and philosophy from Biola University. From 2003 to 2018, he was the senior pastor of Evangel Ministries, and since 2019, he's been the senior pastor of Woodside Bible Church. Also, since 2016, he's also hosted a national daily radio show entitled Equipped with Chris Brooks. His name, Pastor Chris Brooks. And I'm Jack Krasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible, and we're talking to Pastor Chris Brooks, the senior pastor of Woodside Bible Church. Pastor, welcome. A real honor to have you.
It's such an honor to be here, Jack. So privileged to be here and to welcome all of my friends throughout the Metro Detroit area.
Can you start by leading us in an opening prayer tonight?
I'd be happy to do so. Father, thank you for life. Thank you for the good gifts you give of hope and forgiveness and love and restoration. We thank you for this season. We pray that there would be no heavy heart, the Lord, that each one would know the joy of your presence, the friendship of others, and the hope that you have for our future. Bless us now. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
You grew up in Detroit, Chris Brooks.
I did.
Talk to us about your childhood and your mom and your dad, please.
You know, I was born into a Christian home, and I'm grateful for it. Dad was a teacher at one of the historic high schools here in the Detroit area, Cass Tech High School. Many have graduated from Cass Tech and gone on to do phenomenal things. My dad taught there for 27 good years in the old building on the sixth floor when students had to run their way up to class with just a few minutes to spare. Mom was in the business world. She was in telecom when telecom was all the rave throughout the 80s and 90s. And so I'm kind of the product, Jack, of a school teacher and a businesswoman. From that, developed a passion myself for business, developed a passion myself for education, and I think that's what led me into pastoral ministries. But my childhood, like many Detroit kids, was a phenomenal childhood. We didn't have much growing up, but we had one another, and we enjoyed the community and neighborhood that we lived in. We were on the west side of Detroit, Schoolcraft and Evergreen area is where we lived. And God was good. Unfortunately, when I was young, my parents, like many others, went through a divorce. But, you know, I had a unique thing, Jack. Even though mom and dad went through a divorce, they never spoke ill of each other. And I think that was an important part of my childhood because it allowed me to be able to appreciate both of them without having any sense of cynicism. Now, as I got older, I understood more of the narrative. But I will say that I'm grateful that I was able to have a relationship that was strong with both mom and dad.
You surrendered your life to Christ at age 13.
I did.
Why and how so?
You know, it's an interesting question. As I said, was raised in a Christian family, but I didn't grow up without my own doubts. I had plenty of doubts and questions about God and about Christianity, about morality. How can this thing be true when there's so much evil and suffering in the world? How can this be true when there's so many other religions in the world? And I remember being in high school at the time. I went to high school when I was 12. And at 13, as a sophomore, I had an English professor who was an open agnostic. He questioned everything, and it was a Greek mythology class. And you know how classrooms are set up. The teacher is the sage on the stage. He is the one who everyone has to respect, and so what he says is true. And he questioned Christianity, and so did I. And someone, to this day, I can't remember who, gave me a little book from Josh McDowell. It's called More Than a Carpenter. And I read that book twice over, and it gave me answers to the questions that existed in a young man's heart and gave me reasons to believe that Christ was worth following. I also was privileged to be able to, at that time, be attending a church with my mom in a youth ministry where I had a real encounter with the living Christ. And so my life has been transformed since.
All right. If you started high school at 12, you graduated in 15, and while you were in high school, you were sharing your faith. You were already evangelizing to your 18-year-old classmates.
Yeah, well, I was passionate. I was passionate about Christ from the moment that I met him and began to share Christ with friends, family members, loved ones. Now, what's interesting, and people shouldn't be surprised when this happened, the initial response was skeptical. People wondered, suspicious of whether or not this type of change of heart was real. And I lost friends before I gained them. But I have friends that came back, and I'm grateful for that. The cool story is that I actually came to Christ at Disney World, Jack. It was on a family vacation. I've been reading the Josh McDowell book, going to youth ministry, and laying on a pullout couch in a hotel timeshare at Disney World, just off property, all of it came together for me. And laying next to me in that pullout couch bed was my older brother. And he saw me get on my knees on the side of that bed and said, "What's going on?" And I shared Christ with him. And my older brother became my first convert. To this day, we serve Christ together, serve our community as faithfully as we can. But high school was a good time for me to share my faith.
How was it you chose a vocation to be a minister?
You know, that came after I spent time professionally in the financial services industry. But I think that it really boiled down to this for me. Both my love for Christ and my observation of how best to impact our community in a positive way. You know, growing up in Detroit, one of the things that's been true since the civil rights era, even prior to, is that the church has been the epicenter for our community. And it still is true today. It's where so many in our community turn when they need medical advice or financial advice or legal advice. And so I saw that through the church, we could do the maximum good. But I also, still to this day, believe the greatest decision a person can make is to have a real relationship with Christ. And so it's because of those two passions that I believe God called me to be a minister.
We're talking to Pastor Chris Brooks from 2003 to 2018. He was senior pastor of Evangel Ministries. When we come back, we're going to ask him about that chapter in his life. And I'm Jack Rasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. This is Anything Is Possible. I'm your host, Jack Rasula, and we're Pastor Chris Brooks, who from 2003 to 2018 was senior pastor of Evangel Ministries. Pastor, tell us about that chapter in your life.
Well, Evangel Ministries was our childhood church, and so very rarely is the story told of a kid growing up in a ministry, later on pastoring that ministry. But that's just the case. The good people of Evangel welcomed me in with open arms. The way that we got to Evangel, Jack, was the church in the 80s started two K through 12 private schools. And my mom wanting to rescue us from some of the ills of the community that we were in, enrolled my brother and I into Evangel Christian Academy. It was a place where I thrived and was able to meet so many wonderful adults who poured into me. My experience was terrific, and it gave me a great educational start as well as a wonderful, loving community. But it was there that I was introduced to the youth ministry. And after graduating from high school and spending time in the financial services industry, our pastor at the time, my predecessor, George Bogle, announced that he was retiring and asked me if I would consider being his successor. Well, I resisted for a little while. But the Lord knows how to win those battles, Jack. And so eventually I said yes. And it was, again, a blessing for me and my family. Those 15 years at Evangel still remain one of the sweetest seasons of our lives.
Sometimes people say, Jack, you have a weekly radio show, you know, 1 hour show a week. How do you do it all? Well, you have a daily 1 hour radio show.
Yeah.
Entitled Equipped with Chris Brooks. Tell us about that show.
Well, Jack, like you, I'm a curious learner who loves listening to fascinating people. I love having conversations with people about the most important things in life. And so it is an extraordinary blessing and gift to me that every day I get a chance to talk to thought leaders, influencers, people who are subject matter experts in a variety of fields. It allows me to explore areas, ideas that I am interested in and allows me to exercise my curiosity. But every day we get a chance to talk to people about the intersection of life and faith, of culture and faith. We try to live at the tip of the spear there. And I like to say it this way, Jack, that if people are talking about something at the dinner table, at the proverbial water cooler, or on social media, we want to talk about that as well, but from a distinctly biblical worldview perspective. And so we have conversations about everything that's happening in culture, from entertainment to athletics to issues of science and politics, but we do it from a distinctly Christian worldview perspective.
Speaking of listening and learning,
yes,
what are the biggest things your flock, the people you serve, as pastor, have taught you these past nearly 20 years?
Wow. I'm so glad you asked that question, because I think that people often, Jack,
assume... You asked me to ask that question. Just joking.
I think people assume that when you're a preacher or you're standing on stage, that it's a one-way relationship. But I have learned far more from the people that I've had the privilege of being able to pastor and shepherd than I think I've taught them. A couple of lessons that stand out to me is the power of perseverance. I mean, people are amazingly resilient. You know, recently my wife and I had a new daughter, newest addition to the Brooks clan, Christiana Joy, who we're really happy for. But she went
in your 40s, both of you in
my 40s. That's right. Abraham and Sarah become very real in this season. But we went through a challenge the first couple of weeks. We noticed she wasn't returning food. And so we had to go to Children's Hospital. They ran a battery of tests. Bravo to Children's Hospital for being such a great leader. But as I walked the halls of Children's Hospital, I saw families whose children were suffering as much, if not greater, than mine. But I saw resilience in those parents and those grandparents. And every day I'm reminded through our church family of what true faith looks like. The other thing that I've learned, Jack, is that pastoring can be terribly isolating. It's very easy to get trapped in your own silo, your office, your study. It's easy for that to happen. And what I learned through my members is what it looks like to take faith to the front lines. What does it look like for a business leader to take their faith to work with them? What does it look like for a young person to take their faith to school with them? I'm constantly watching with a front row seat the amazing stories of our congregation, the people that I've had the privilege of shepherding, living out their faith on the front lines and making tremendous impact. So if you ask me who's more important to the kingdom of God, a pastor or a parent, a pastor or an accountant, a pastor or a teacher, I would say it's hard. It's a toss-up. What we have to do is all be faithful where we are, and I've learned what that looks like outside of the four walls of the church.
We don't need shepherds if we don't have the sheep.
That's right.
Speaking of which, May 19th, 2019, the Woodside Bible Church family voted overwhelmingly that you become their new senior pastor.
Yeah.
Why did you accept this challenge, this new chapter?
Because I love our region. And I think that people need the church. Woodside Bible Church has been one of the most, as you know, Jack, important, I would say, churches in our region and in our state. So when Pastor Doug Schmidt, my predecessor and friend, announced that he would be retiring after 28 phenomenal years of leadership and ministry and in the region, I simply began to pray, Lord, send the right pastor, a good pastor, who will love Woodside and love our region to this wonderful church. Didn't know I was praying for myself, had no aspirations of being there. But as Doug and I would often do, we would talk about how we could best serve our region. And one night over dinner, my wife and myself, along with Doug and Carolyn Schmidt, we sat And with tears in his eyes, he shared with me his hope, his aspiration for Woodside and for this region. And I found myself at a place where I could not run the will of God. And so I said to Doug, I'd be more than willing, more than open to serve our region in this way. Our region needs stories of reconciliation, Jack. Our region needs stories of unity. The church continues to be needed in our area to serve, to lead with compassion, to lead with mercy and grace. And I hope that we can be that type of movement at Woodside Bible Church.
It's a biblically sound teaching.
Yes.
What are the 2020 goals that you and your team have for Woodside Bible Church?
Our top line goal is to be a healthy church. And what we mean by that is we want to care for people well, both inside the four walls and outside of the four walls. But here's what we want more than anything else, Jack. It is to bring the hope of Christ to a new generation that has been gripped by despair. This year alone, I have heard personally and experienced the pain of parents who have gone through the suicide of their young adult or teenager. Think about that. Teenagers committing suicide. We know from all the studies that this is not some isolated phenomenon. It is a epidemic. It is on the increase, not only nationally, but Jack, in every state, suicide is on the rise throughout our union. What's happening with our children and young people is not something that we can overlook. We've crossed a tipping point. So our focus at Woodside is to take the hope of Christ to the next generation, millennials and Gen Z, by using every means of creative ministry possible. In particular, we want to enter into digital and online spaces. We want to leverage and meet people where they are. I wish I could tell you, Jack, that where this generation went with their God questions, their questions about life and everything that's important, is to the local church. Well, they're not turning to their priest or their pastor as their first option anymore. You know where they're going? YouTube. They're going to Twitter. They're going to Google. We can lament that, or we can leverage that. And so what we've decided to do at Woodside is to create content, to meet people where they are, to leverage digital spaces, but not to be exclusively there. We want to be a church that is both high tech and high touch.
We're talking to Pastor Chris Brooks. If you want to learn more, www.woodsidebible.org. And I'm Jack Rasul, and this is Anything is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR. Welcome back to Anything is Possible. I'm Jack Crisol, and we're with Pastor Chris Brooks. Since 2016, he's hosted a daily national radio show entitled Equipped with Chris Brooks. Let's talk about the Bible, the book. What's the basic message of the book?
Redemption. The basic message of the book is the fact that everything in God's created order knows what it is to experience brokenness and failure, human beings included. But you know what's good about the Bible? It's God. Is that we serve a good God who, on the one hand, maintains justice. Because if God is good, that means he has to be just. That means that he has to execute judgment against those things that are evil and destructive. And he does do that because he is a good judge. But it also means that he provides a way of rescue and escape. And through Christ Jesus, he made that way of rescue and escape because of our own sinfulness, because of our own brokenness. I think the one thing that we can all agree on as we look into the world is that there's something wrong about the way society functions. The way that we treat each other so often doesn't measure up to the compassion and love that it should. The way that our systems of society often are broken. But yet what Christ tells us through Scripture, what the Bible tells us, is that redemption is possible, that hopelessness is not the final chapter, that hope prevails, and we get a chance to celebrate that, Jack, at Christmas time. And I think about the Christmas that the Bible records in the Gospels, that first Christmas, and what the message is that Christ came into the world so that he might redeem those things that have been broken.
4 days, we celebrate Christmas.
Yes.
What should we do? How should we spend time these next 4 days preparing for Christmas?
You know, I love the season is Advent season. And one of the ways that we celebrate Advent at the Brooks household is to consider some of the names of God. Consider some of the names that were ascribed to Christ, such as Emmanuel, God with us, that he is Jesus, meaning he'll save us or rescue us from our sins. But, you know, as we think about who Jesus is and what he's done, here's what I think we should do. I think that we should strive to love others as Christ has loved us. That is the greatest way that we can celebrate Christmas. I think that if you were to ask the Old Testament figures, those who predicted the coming of Christ or the first Christmas, what Christmas meant to them, what they were anticipating, I don't think any of them would talk about much Cyber Monday discounts or Black Friday sales. I think what they would talk about is restoration, hope, redemption, forgiveness, and love. These all came through Christ, and that's what I believe we should be showing through many acts of compassion and community as possible as we celebrate Christmas.
So the first Christmas, 14-year-old girl, pregnant, not married.
That's right.
Tells her fiancé, honey, we got an issue. I'm pregnant.
That's right.
And he accepts her. And then that son is born in a manger in a trough. That's not the way God would do it.
Yeah, you would think that God would do it a different way. Don't forget, he's a king. The King of Kings, Savior of the world. You would think that he would be born in a palace to royal parentage. But the fact of the matter is God always surprises us. His ways are not our ways, Jack. And so there are many right now who think they're in a similar scenario, that their situation is beyond being fixed, that there's no way in their own logical thinking that they could see themselves navigating their way out. But as God surprised us on that first Christmas, I think he has a Christmas surprise for many who are listening right now. Don't give up on God, because he has not given up on you. And I think that if God has the ability to bring the Savior through such unconventional means, he can use unconventional means to bring the Savior to us.
Tell us about the greatest human being of all time, the Jewish carpenter named Jesus.
It's hard to talk about Jesus without being moved to tears. I mean, Jack, as you think about who he was, what's extraordinary about him is the way he's described in Isaiah chapter 53, that there was nothing externally that caused men to be attracted to him, that he, from a physical perspective, looked as ordinary could be. But yet in Isaiah chapter 11, it says that he was endowed by the Spirit and that he was a different leader than the leaders of that day. You know, Israel knew corruption, and they knew what it was to have bad leaders. And many that are listening to me right now, they lament the leaders that they see around the area. But Jesus was a different type of leader. He led again with compassion, with mercy, forgiveness, and truth. And I believe that through Christ, through his death, burial, and resurrection, that we can know truth, beauty, and justice. Our hearts can be enlivened and transformed. And once our lives are transformed by his miraculous life, we can share it with others.
God is a comedian. He regularly uses the least likely to do his greatest work. Why?
Maybe the answer to that, Jack, is because we won't take the credit when you know that you're not able in and of yourself, when you know that you don't deserve it, when you are the least likely. What is true is that you'll give God the credit, because you'll know that if it wasn't for God, there's no way that this guy could have ever done what he's done. I think about my own story. You've shared a little bit of it. A boy born on the west side of Detroit to a family with not a lot of means. And God has allowed me to have a life much better than I deserve. And I think to myself, if it wasn't for the grace of God, where would I be? I think at the end of the day, what God is looking for are men and women who be humble enough to acknowledge that He is good and that He is God and that we are what we are because of His grace. Paul said it that way. He says in 1 Corinthians 15 and 10, I am what I am because of the grace of God. I think that's the greatest way we can give Him praise.
Our mutual friend that we both admire,
yes,
Doug Schmidt,
yes,
once told me that grace is what God gives you that you don't deserve and what He doesn't give you that you do deserve.
Yes.
Very true. Christmas is a time of giving. And on November 8th, your message at Woodside was living a life of service.
Yes.
And you used 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10 through 12. Pastor, how do I live a life of service?
You know, first it starts off with recognizing that you have something to give to others. I love what that passage says in 1 Peter 4 and 10. Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms. You know what that tells me? It tells me that each one of us has a gift to give to other people. You know, so many people look at themselves and say, what do I have to offer? I'm not much. Well, in God's eyes, we all have something to offer. And the greatest way that we serve others is simply by being available to the needs of others. They're all around us. They'll present themselves. We don't have to go through some extensive search to have to find it. Oftentimes, our own busyness and our own self-centeredness, and I say that not in a derogatory way, but as the natural condition of humanity, we think about ourselves, will blind us to the needs all around us. But when we wake up in the morning and pray, Jack, Lord, here am I, use me, and we simply live with an open heart, He'll show us how we can be of great use to others.
We're talking to Pastor Chris Brooks. If you want to learn more, www.woodsidebible.org. When we come back, we're going to ask him about the most powerful force on earth. And I'm Jack Brasula, and this is Anything Is Possible on News Talk 760 WJR.
Here's a great Christmas gift. Jack Krasula, host of WJR's Anything Is Possible, the weekly radio visit, brings his 15 years of inspirational storytelling to hardcover. With God, anything is possible.
Anything is possible.
15 of Jack's more than 750 tales of defeating odds and achieving the extraordinary. Like Bob Woodruff, whose job covering the war in Iraq nearly cost him his life. And Nick Vujicic, the limbless evangelist who has stunned millions with his message of acceptance and grace. With God, anything is possible. Order now while signed copies are still available at trustinusllc.square.site. That's trustinusllc.square.site. And as Jack says,
make it a great week because with God, anything is possible. Spohol.
Don't forget, there's still time to purchase Jack's book for Christmas.
I'm Jack Krasula. This is Anything Is Possible. And we're talking to the senior pastor of Woodside Bible Church, Pastor Chris Brooks. The most powerful force on earth. Dr. Charles Stanley, In Touch Ministries, says it's also the greatest time saver, prayer. Talk to us about prayer.
You know, I got a good friend who often reminds me, Jack, that outrage is not a strategy, that lament doesn't change the world. I think it's important for us to understand that there are many things that will break our heart, many things that will produce outrage within us. And the typical human response is to clamor to be heard by men on earth. We all mobilize for that to happen. And I'm not against that happening. Praise God that we live in a democratic republic where we can be heard by representatives on earth and hopefully get a measure of justice. But I think that so often we are investing so much energy to being heard on earth that we forget that the beauty of the gospel is the promise that we can be heard on high. that you and I can every day go into our prayer closets, go into our private moments of prayer, and be heard by the King of the universe, the one who is the maker of us all. And so I would agree with Charles Stanley. Who am I to disagree with Dr. Charles Stanley? But I would agree that prayer is often the most overlooked and the most underappreciated tool for transformation and change. I'm convinced that prayer is a matter of national security. I'm convinced that as we pray for presidents and leaders and those who keep watch over our nation, that it makes a difference. I'm convinced that prayer is the greatest gift we can give to our children, because as we pray for them, God hears the prayers of moms and dads, and He protects and preserves the lives of our children. And if we want to see our community changed, it won't happen except for prayer. One last word on prayer is that one of my favorite books of the Bible, I love all of it, but one of my favorite books of the Bible is the book of Acts. It's like a highlight reel. It almost feels like you're watching Sports Center. You see one great event, miraculous after another. But some have called it a prayer book, Jack, because every time the church came together to pray, God moved in mighty and powerful ways. I think God is no respecter of persons. If we pray today, we'll see mighty and miraculous moves of God.
If there's a listener that says, Pastor, I pray, and then I hear voices, how do I know if these voices are messages from God?
You know, I think that we all struggle with that question. How do I know that what I'm hearing is from God? I think the simple answer is that God will never say anything that's inconsistent with His revealed will in Scripture. One of the best and most protective things that anyone can do is to have a relationship with the Bible, with the Word of God. You know, my kids know me pretty well. I spend a lot of time with them. So does my wife. And because they're in conversation with me every day, if someone was to tell them that I said something that was foreign to my character, that was out of left field for my personality, they'd be able to distinguish it right away. They know that I'm a Michigan State Spartans fan. If someone told them that my favorite team was the Wolverines, they'd know that person was misrepresenting my heart and my intentions. Sorry, don't mean to divide the audience there. But that's a great example. Well, in the same way, God has revealed His will. His character is strong, firm, and true. And when you know the voice of God as revealed in Scripture, when you pray, it will allow you to discern and distinguish between what is His voice and what is not consistent with His character.
Pastor, my life is going great right now. I'm like the Baltimore Ravens. I'm like Clemson, Ohio State, the Buckeyes, LSU,
yes.
The Lakers,
yes.
Milwaukee Bucks. When I need God, I'll reach out and He'll be there for me, but I don't need Him right now.
Yeah. You know, so often we fool ourselves and we think we're in a position of success and control that we're really not in. You know, Jesus didn't just come for the down and out. He came for the up and out. And I guarantee you, if you were in the locker room of those teams you just named, Jack, that every single one of them has a kid they're praying for, has an issue going on in their own health or personal life that they're concerned about, has unknown questions about the future, why wait? So often we assume falsely that we can make some bedside confession, or that in a nick of time we can pray and see things change. But the fact of the matter is, life comes at you fast. As one commercial says, we don't always know when it's going to happen. So you better have a relationship with Christ now that will sustain you when the times come that are bigger than you and beyond your ability and capacity to handle by yourself. We all need a Savior. We all need Jesus.
You mentioned in the previous segment, God's ways are not our ways.
Yes.
You and your wife, Yodit, are in your 40s.
We are.
And baby number 6 came about a month ago. Christiana Joy, that's a princess name if I've ever heard it. Talk to us about the miracle of birth.
You know, I could tell you, it'd take an hour to tell you our story, but needless to say, the doctors told us pretty early on that we weren't going to have children. We went 16 years before our first biological child, never did anything to prevent it. But I think that God was wise in that He had written a different love story for us. Our family story includes the beauty of adoption. And so the first 3 children that we have in our family, Christopher, Zoditu, we call her Zoe from Ethiopia, and Cameron, all came through the joy and beauty of adoption. Jack, we're proud adoptive parents. But boy, could my head have exploded 16 years after being married and saying I do when my wife came to me in 2014 to tell me, surprise, surprise, I'm pregnant. And our first biological son was born, Judah, and we thought, praise God, what a miracle child. But once the faucet is on, Jack, I guess as you said earlier, God has a sense of humor. About a year and a half later, Sophia came, and now Christiana Joy, and we're so grateful.
Be careful what we pray for, huh?
That's right. I've told the folks at the church who've been praying for us to have children, God answered that prayer. We can move on to other prayer requests now.
All right. Let's talk about America's greatest natural resource, our young people.
What a blessing. What a blessing our young people are. But I don't know, and I'm going to sound old here, and I'm only 43, but I don't know if there's ever been a generation that's faced as much as our young people. You know, things like bullying, Jack, used to happen on the playground. Now, because of cyber realities, it happens 24 hours a day. There's no place of protection. You know, pornography, for example, used to be a magazine that a father maybe kept under his bed, and son might stumble upon it. Now pornography comes looking for you through these things called smartphones. Sometimes they feel kind of unsmart to me. But the fact of the matter is that young people still represent the greatest resource we have in this country and the greatest hope for our future. So again, outrage is not a strategy. Lament doesn't change anything. We can look at this generation and say, I wish they had their acts together. Or we can reach one. Each one can reach one, Jack. And I believe that as we mentor and pour in to these young people, God will use them mightily. Here's the truth of the matter. God changes lives through relationships. Every young person is just one relationship away from being a world changer. That was true for you and I as well. If you think back over your life, there were key people who stepped into your life at just the right time that made all the difference in the world. For me, it was a youth pastor. In 1989, my mother, on the way to work, got into a terrible accident. Almost became a vegetable, but a youth pastor stepped in, changed my life. I want to be that for someone else.
We're talking to Pastor Chris Brooks. Pastor, as our time winds down, could you lead us in a closing prayer tonight?
I would love to. Father, thank you for this time together with Jack. Thank you most of all for Christmas. We all need to remember the power of that first Christmas. We all need the hope that comes through Christ. I pray that that would spread. I pray that our region would be transformed, not just for this generation, but for the generations to come. You've done it before. We believe you can do it again. So it's with faith in our hearts that we say thank you and amen.
And Pastor Brooks and I both say we hope you have a blessed Christmas. Please join us next Saturday. Until then, I'm Jack Rasula. Thanks for listening, and make it a great week, because with God, anything is possible. Spohn.
Believe in yourself.